Welcome back to another episode of the CTB Show. We are back after a couple week break. The Chiefs are no longer undefeated. The Pittsburgh Steelers are humming along. Your Cowboys suck. And my Miami Dolphins might just be back in the playoff race. We'll get into all of it today. We're going to break down all the Week 11 action. We're going to give you our biggest takeaways. Kat, what's going on, my friend?
Puck, you know, there's been better days. There's been better days for sure. Last time we were on this show, the Cowboys were just trending in the wrong direction. I thought they were bad, but I mean, we'll get into it later on the show, but
it's not fun watching a backup quarterback, isn't it?
No, it's awful. Yeah,
you know what I had to deal with the first... Actually, Dak might be the most valuable player in the NFL right after Tua.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dak takes a lot of slack for a guy that's won 12 games. Yeah, for sure. But if we still had him, we probably still win 7-8 games. Definitely not getting killed the way that we've been getting killed, that's for sure. But for a guy that takes a ton of slack, I could sit on the show here and defend him to the day I die. But I will not do that because we got more important things to talk about in today's show. Week 11, you know, I thought for the most part it was another good week of football. Like, I thought there was a ton of exciting games. There was a point in time where about week 6 to week 8, there was like, it just felt dry, you know? Maybe that was more so because the Cowboys were just bad, so like, it was not enjoyable, but I've been enjoying football, at least over the last couple of weeks. I think the product's back to it, and I saw, you know what, before we started the show, I saw a tweet that I thought was pretty interesting because, you know what I mean? You see people on Twitter. Again, everyone has a platform now. You can just see what you want and it picks up steam. So there was a tweet that was going pretty viral about how the NFL product has taken like a back step like it's not what it used to be. And everyone talks about like the Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning era and how it's not up to standards. And I think I saw a good rebuttal that I wanted to bring up, and it basically said, no, the only reason why people think that is because we watch more football now, which is true, because you look 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there was no red zone. There was not as many primetime games as there was now. Like, it was sort of, you watch the one or two primetime games a week, and then you're relying on highlights the rest of the week to catch up on everything else. And that's when you see, oh yeah, you only see the big plays, but red zone's showing you everything, right? So I thought that was pretty interesting because a lot of people like to take slack or take hits at the NFL product this year, but I don't know.
There's also a ton of young quarterbacks right now. Like we both grew up on Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Big Ben, Brady, Manning. Yes. They were in their 30s. They were... you know, developed. They had their growing pains. I mean, not so much Brady, but Drew Brees didn't find success until his second team. You know, Peyton Manning, his first couple of years, disaster. It takes a while for these guys to get going. So with all these young quarterbacks that haven't played a lot, guys like Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, who are so quick to write off. I think another thing that plays into that whole argument is fantasy football. We're so obsessed with the box score and your completion percentage, your passer rating, your interceptions, whereas before it was just more of a results-driven game. Did you win? Were you in it for your team? Now it's not enough when the quarterback wins. He's got to throw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, and it's this whole ordeal of franchise quarterback numbers. But yeah, I'm never a fan of when people are quick to bash the level of talent in the game or just the direction of where the sport is going. But we will start with breaking down Week 11, and we will start that with the biggest game of potentially the year, and that was the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills get the best of the Chiefs once again in the regular season, and Josh Allen, after this game, he was the slight MVP favorite before. Everyone thinks he is now running away with that award, and of course he had that sort of, they're calling it the play of the season, the put the team on your back, run on 4th-and-2 into the end zone in Josh Allen fashion. Kat, but I'll ask you this. Who is the MVP right now through 11 weeks?
Well, I mean, the odds-on favorite is Josh Allen at plus 125, thanks to our friends over at PointsBet. But is he the clear-cut MVP favorite? Like, if I had to crown the winner today, I'm probably going to give it to Josh Allen just because that win was so big. And, you know, Lamar Jackson just lost to the Steelers and... personally, I think at this given moment, yes. But there's also 7 weeks left in the season, right? So I think it's a little bit too early to sort of crown the MVP as the runaway favorite like many are doing with Josh Allen. But I've been praising the Bills all year. I praised them last show. I said, this is the best the Bills that I've seen the Bills be. And I think they are only getting better because removing a guy like Diggs, sure, it's, I think, in my opinion, it's addition by subtraction. You're seeing it right away. So, if I had to give the award today, I'd probably give it to Josh Allen.
I think it's very close. Josh Allen has been phenomenal this season, and I don't think this is taking away from anything that he's doing. And also, you made a great point. There's a lot of game left to go. I saw a post about this time last year, what Lamar's stats looked like, and they were not great, and he went on to win MVP. Because those games late in December in prime time, when you can clinch a one seed, when you can clinch a division, they matter a lot, and they're weighted much heavily than what you do in September and October in an MVP race. What Lamar Jackson is doing right now, though, is quite frankly unbelievable. And I don't care that they're two games behind the Steelers and they just lost to them in a crucial division game. To me, he is the MVP. His numbers are absurd. I have never seen him this good as a passer in his career. And I think he has hilariously silenced every single critic that has come his way saying what he can and can't do. And I just think he is playing at a level right now higher than every other player in the league. And this team is just running right through him. It's close, but he's my MVP right now over Josh Allen.
See, that's an interesting take because, again, they're coming off this very just bland and boring game against the Steelers. But I'll take that a step further, Pac. And I will go on to say that the Baltimore Ravens are the same exact Baltimore Ravens team that they were last year. And I'll give you this. Look. Everyone knows Baltimore is good. Do they have a chance to win the Super Bowl? 100%. Is Lamar Jackson playing a great? Yes, 1,000,000%. Is Derrick Henry running the rock better than anybody in the league? Sure. But for some reason, I can't say this about other teams, but I can say this about Baltimore. There is a blueprint on how to beat Baltimore. And it's you see it twice a year with the Steelers. Are the Steelers as good as Baltimore? No. I get it. It's a divisional opponent. But for whatever reason, Pittsburgh knows how to play this team. And is there a blueprint to beat Patrick Mahomes? No. Is there a blueprint to beat Josh Allen and the Bills? No. Is there a blueprint to beat Detroit Lions? No. Is there a blueprint to beat the Eagles? No. But how do you beat the Baltimore Ravens? You make them play from behind. And I get it. People are going to come here and show me, oh, Lamar Jackson came back against Cincinnati. Yes, that's historically bad defense. I get it. But why is it a team this talented, for whatever reason, when they are playing with a lead, they look so, so different than when they're playing from behind? I don't know what it is. I get it. It's a team that runs the rock, that controls the possession. But when I watch Baltimore play from behind, they just look like a completely different team.
I don't know. I feel like it might be a little harsh on what I feel like this Steelers game is more so a blip. For whatever reason, the Ravens feel different this year in my eyes. They're getting their weapons more involved. Their passing game is much better than it has been in years past. Am I picking them in a one-game showdown in Kansas City? If it comes to that in January in an AFC Championship? No, but I'm doing that based off of just what we've seen with Patrick Mahomes and the level of success that he's had in the playoffs in years past. I don't think that's a fair mark to measure a team against, though, because I feel like there's other teams and other sort of playoff contenders where maybe the margins aren't as thin and we're not as critical of them right away. And I just feel like Baltimore is going to go on. I mean, they got a big matchup Monday Night Football against, you know, Jim Harbaugh's defense, which will be a very, very good test, because if there's a team that's similar to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's those Los Angeles Chargers right now with the way that they're playing on the defense side of the ball. I just feel like this game against the Steelers will be one that we forget. Just like last year, they lost in Pittsburgh. Really, in the grand scheme of things, I didn't feel like that was like a team-altering loss where it's like, I got you guys, I know what you are, and now I'm worried about you in the playoffs.
See, I want to get this straight. The reason why I'm harsh on Baltimore is because I'm not just putting them as a playoff contender, right? I think they're a Super Bowl favorite. They should be a Super Bowl favorite. But to me, again, I will say it again. I just said it a minute ago. If they win the Super Bowl, will I be surprised? No way. But I feel like they have to really win their way, right? Like, if Baltimore wins games in dominant fashion, it's because they controlled it from the beginning to the end. As soon as the game sort of goes off their script, outside of that Bengals game, because I think that's just an anomaly, because I said it week one, week two, week three, week four, and I'll say it again, that Cincinnati Bengals defense is the worst defense I have ever watched in the history of my football watching. It's awful. But I'll go back to the Ravens. And I will say this even further, just a little rebuttal on myself too, because do I think this is their best chance to win the Super Bowl? Yes. But there's always that chance in the back of my mind that no matter what Baltimore does, for whatever reason, maybe it's the way that they're built, I have no clue, because I can't actually quantifiably prove that this is why they do it. For whatever reason, there is a blueprint to beat Baltimore, and there is no other blueprint to beat any other Super Bowl contending team.
I just think the blueprint to beat any team, and I think this is more so, we're always harsher on the AFC contenders because the AFC is just at the top. At least it's more competitive. Fair. Until anyone beats Mahomes in the playoffs, I think the narrative is just going to be like, they can't get it done. There's a blueprint to beat these guys. Like, for example, the Bills just have a big win over the Chiefs. The Chiefs are undefeated. I know they haven't looked as good this year, and everyone likes to just point at Mahomes' numbers, which to me means nothing. They're a very good football team. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. They're undefeated. The Bills have this huge character win at home, and it just feels like nobody cares. Because until we see Mahomes and the Chiefs go down in the playoffs, the other contenders are just under such a microscope right now that it's just like we're just waiting for one little mess up, and we're like, yeah, this is why you're going to lose to the Chiefs in January.
We'll see.
The Chiefs have to develop. The Bills have to develop. There's going to be a lot more that we're going to learn as the season goes on. And like you said, it's still very early. It's still been very exciting. The next takeaway from week 11, I'll throw to you. What do you got over here?
My Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, are the NFL's worst team. That may not come as a surprise, but Jacksonville Jaguars, they still exist. The Cowboys are worse. Now, will they be picking number one overall? I don't know. But this team sucks. I'm going to read out the remaining schedule, and you tell me if you're confident at least one game. We're sitting at 3-7 right now. Are they going to win one more game out of the remaining seven? And I got to watch seven more of these dreadful games that I'm watching, and I'm like, there are so many other things that I could be doing right now that I want to do, but for whatever reason, I want to watch this team. So they got the Commanders on the road next week. They're going to get killed. They got the Giants. We're talking about Thanksgiving fender bender here between Tommy DeVito. That's a nap. Yeah, that's a nap. When you're taking when you're having turkey, that's the nap game. I don't even think they're going to win that game, but maybe, sure, you want to put that as a toss-up. Bengals lost. The Panthers, they're better than Dallas right now. They legit are the last two games. They just are. It is what it is. I can't believe I'm saying that. But they are. The Bucks, the Eagles, the Commanders. There is one game that we may win on that schedule, and it's the Giants. And I don't even know if we'll win that game.
To think, like, this is a team that's won 12 games in a row, three straight years. To think that they're this bad. Measure them up with Carolina, who last year was just like, does it get worse than this team from a performance standpoint, from an organizational setup to succeed in the future standpoint? The fact that they didn't have their pick, like, that's the measuring mark now. Also, the fact that the Jaguars are also in that category when we were all thinking that they're going to run away with the AFC South for like the next five seasons just a year ago. Like, last year at this time, the Jaguars were 8-3. Yeah. I just want to point that out to everybody. They were 8-3. We were talking one seed with the Jaguars. Now they're cleaning house, but whatever. Craziness. It must be very, very tough to be a Cowboys fan, to watch that, to watch Cooper Rush. But it's just so much more than that, because with Dak, they were so bad. The defense is an absolute disaster. It's literally Micah Parsons. I mean, Trayvon Diggs is still good. I think he's regressed a little bit, but he's still a good player. Micah Parsons, and then the rest is just like, you need a replacement in every single position on this team.
And everyone sits here and goes, oh, if this gives us Travis Hunter, it's all worth it. This team needs so much more than Travis Hunter. It needs Jerry Jones to sell the team, which he'll never do. So it's gotten me questioning how much effort and time I want to keep putting into this team if this is the product that we're all living in delusional. Everyone wants to just point to poor Jerry Jones up there. Not poor. I mean, he's a joke. That's a massive reason as to why this team sucks.
But hey, Jerry Jones and every single one of the Cowboys fans, including myself, are just delusional. Because if we keep putting effort into this team for the same absolute crap to happen every single year, we got to start looking at ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what? This team stinks. We just passively watch it, but there's so many other things that we could do other than watching the Dallas Cowboys stink it up, especially this year, but in previous years too. I get it, they win 12 games, but what have they done? Nothing. That's what Jerry Jones said. He was on the radio today.
Of course he's on the radio.
And he said, well, you know, we're one of the most winning teams in the last 5-6 years. In the last 15 years, we have one of the most wins. It's like, okay, Jerry, nobody cares about that except for you. Literally.
I will say this. And I'm not saying, like, you've had it easy as an NFL fan just because of the, you know, everyone loves to laugh at the Cowboys every year, and they've just been this, like, the laughing stock. They come up short of expectations every single year. But at the same time, welcome to being an NFL fan of most teams. Fair. Because when I look at your life as a Cowboys fan, I don't think you've ever actually watched, like, a rebuild. You had one bad year where Roman got hurt. And then the next year, Dak comes in,
yeah,
which, like, you lucked into that, yeah, and they were just 10, 11 wins, you know, his entire time.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe we need to see that.
I watched, like, bad Dolphins for a long time. The tank for 2 years. There's excitement. If it's a good draft class, there's excitement in that. But, yeah, Cowboys' worst team in the NFL through 11 weeks is crazy to think about given the expectation coming into the year. Next takeaway from week 11. Miami Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. I am back in. Rope me in. Give me the hope to crush me in a few weeks' time. Because with Tua Tagovailoa under center, this is a playoff team. Since he's back from injury, he's got 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's completing 78% of his passes, and he's got a pass rating over 110. You're looking at an elite, elite level franchise quarterback. He was paid like one. People were skeptical. These Miami Dolphins are going to be playing meaningful football games in December. It is crushing that the games he missed were some of the easiest games on their schedule, and they lost to the Titans, they lost to the Colts, they lost to the Seahawks. With Tua, though, look at their upcoming schedule. I see you bringing it up. They've got the Patriots at home next week. Tua's never lost to New England in his entire career. You win that game, you're one game back of 500 with a meeting Thanksgiving night in Green Bay.
I'm bringing up something funnier, Pac, but I can't, for some reason I can't find it right now, but I will find it. We posted our week 3 power rankings, and this is when you guys lost to the Titans.
Oh, week four.
Yeah. Week four, and you commented the Dolphins should be last.
They should have. At the time, they should have been last. 30s,
I know. That's why I'm just funny how long the season is from one end of the spectrum. We got to find it and put it on the screen. But we got from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other spectrum. And it's not even that crazy. It's literally not that crazy. After week 4, could the Dolphins have been the NFL's worst team? 100%. And on that same breath, you fast forward 6-7 weeks, and we're saying, can the Dolphins make the playoffs? 100%. They just can. The Patriots, the Packers, the Jets, the Texans, the 49ers, the Browns, the Jets. I get it. Look, the Texans, in my opinion, aren't the same team that they were last year. The Packers, are they beatable? Sure, they're a good team. The Jets are a joke. The Patriots, they should handle at home. The 49ers are now in limbo with all their injuries. I think the Dolphins are trending in the right direction, Pac. And to say that I may piggyback you on this, I think it's an understatement. I think you're bang on.
They're a wagon right now. They're scoring at an absurd rate since Tua's come back. Their percentage of drives that end in scores is near the top of the league, if it's not the top. I don't know. Like, say this thing about Tua, like, all jokes aside, is he the most talented quarterback in the league? No. Is he one of the best 5 quarterbacks in the league in terms of, you know, you have one drive, you want to win the game, you want someone to be a hero and make these plays? No. But the way he operates this offense, he is genuinely the most valuable player in the entire NFL. Because without him, this team was so, so bad and so lost. There it is. You found my comment. Dolphins should be 32. That was 2 months ago.
7 weeks, October 1st. October 1st. That is 6 weeks ago. 7 weeks ago.
They were the worst team in the NFL without him. Now we're all talking playoffs. We have hope.
I love it, Pac. That is two opposite ends of the spectrum. I just went on absolutely dogging my Cowboys just for you to follow up with you giving light on your Dolphins. And you know what, Pac? I may backpack. I might be a Dolphins fan the rest of the year. I don't know. Actually, you know what? I won't be a Dolphins fan because you don't want my luck involved with the Dolphins. But I'll watch from afar, and I will cheer. And I will be happy if you guys get into the playoffs because that'll be a great story. And I'll tell you that for free. Imagine the Dolphins go on this crazy win streak, sneak into the playoffs, and who do they play the week?
Don't say the Bills.
The Bills.
No, how good would that be? That's not what we want. No,
I know that's not what you want, but that's what we want.
We want the Steelers. 7-2. Bring me the Steelers on the road. I feel like that's the only place where we could probably go in and maybe win. If it's cold, let's be honest. This was a great rain and all. It's getting colder. We'll probably get killed in Green Bay. We can't win in the cold. Anyways, that's my pessimism coming in after an optimistic little rant there. Your next takeaway from week 11, what do you got?
The Philadelphia Eagles are the 2023 Dallas Cowboys of this season. Now, before you go crazy and attack me in all these different angles, because me and Eagles fans, we already don't gel, right? Nick Sirianni, Mike McCarthy. I'll start with that. Everyone knows these coaches stink, but for some reason, because they beat up on these bad teams, we all of a sudden overthink they're just going to magically overcome them and get right back to the Super Bowl contenders that everyone expected them to be. Look, is Philadelphia a good team? Yes. So was Dallas last year. But over this last 6-game win streak, the combined record of these teams that they're beaten is 20-43. I mean, I'm no mathematician, but that's pretty bad. And you fast forward this time last year in the month of November, the Cowboys were beating up on teams like the Chargers, the Rams, the Panthers, the Commanders, and the Giants. Like, they went on this win streak, and everyone was like, oh my God, the Cowboys, Dak MVP. I've sat here, Dak MVP, the Cowboys, this, that. They went into Buffalo, got killed. They went into Miami, lost. Then all of a sudden, you're riding a 500 record in the last 4 games into the playoffs. Boom, spanked against the Packers, who were coming into the playoffs hot. I just think everyone's got to relax a little bit with this Philadelphia Eagles team. They're a good team, sure, but they play the Detroit tomorrow, they're losing. They play the Packers tomorrow, they're losing. I would even go a step further to say, they play San Francisco in the playoffs right now. I'm picking San Francisco just because Nick Sirianni versus Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan will coach figure eights around Nick Sirianni. I don't even know what Nick Sirianni does. Does anyone know what Nick Sirianni does? I don't even know if he knows what he does. He just stands there. It's like he's a motivator, but he's a terrible motivator. I don't get it. Good for them for overcoming it, but this is going to end in typical fashion. When they get to the playoffs, there's going to be a clear-cut just gap in coaching, and they won't be able to overcome it, just like the Cowboys were last year.
Wow, that's some bold talk to a team that's on a 6-game heater, probably got the offensive player of the year right now in Saquon Barkley. Debatably. They're pretty good. Like, they have a lot of talent. And I think what's impressed me the most with the Eagles right now, that's secondary, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Darius Slay. Like, they have shut down opposing receivers. And I feel like Vic Fangio got a lot of slack early on in the season. I think the defense is coming around, and it's a lot better than people think. And I feel like that's why maybe I don't fully agree with you. My whole thing is, and this is where I definitely share the same feelings, I can easily see Nick Sirianni pulling off some sort of boneheaded decision, whether it's being too aggressive on fourth down, whether it's gloating to the sideline and, you know, talking smack to the opposing team's fan base, and it just ends up backfiring on them come playoff time in a crucial game. And that's why I trust, you know, the Lions. And I honestly, the 49ers are an interesting topic. I think we'll get to them a little later on. It's interesting. It's interesting right now in Philly.
I will go a step further and say it's not even about the antics or the decision-making. If you watch these Eagles wins in depth, the first, like, first half of the game, like, they look bad. And they've just been able to overcome it because the teams that they're playing aren't good. But Nick Sirianni continues to prove that he is unable to get his team for whatever reason. Like, you're playing the Jags. I don't know why you can't kill the Jags. They're terrible. You're playing the Cowboys. Why was it a close game in the first half? He doesn't have his teams ready. And I'm telling you, he goes to a playoff game against a good team, it's over at half if they keep up this direction. And he's giving me no reason to think otherwise personally. But You said the defense, sure. The Cowboys' defense last year was amazing too, right? I'm telling you, these teams mirror each other. Philadelphia is probably better on paper than Dallas were last year, but I just think I get the same vibe. And maybe it's easier to see from a third person and not be incredibly involved in it, but I don't know. To me, I'm not a big Nick Sirianni guy, and I know a lot of Eagles fans out there aren't Nick Sirianni guys either, but...
All right, we'll move on. We'll see how the Eagles continue to do as they get some tougher matchups coming up. But hey, they withstood the test of the Commanders in prime time. Saquon Barkley's playing at such a high level right now. We'll see. There'll be an interesting matchup when they see the Eagles, when they see whoever the top guys are in the NFC. I want to move over to the AFC now and talk about a team that I feel just absolutely nobody had on their radar going into the 2024 season. The Denver Broncos. Has Bo Nix arrived? Has he proven that he is the guy for this team? And can this team make some noise in the playoffs? Those are all questions that have gone through my head over the past month. And he's answering these questions. And I think when you look at what Sean Payton has done in Denver, there was a ton of heat on him because his first two seasons there were a complete disaster. Look at him now. He has essentially put all his chips on the table. He has gone all in on Bo Nix and said, I'm attaching my reputation to this guy. This is my last chance to draft a quarterback to say, this is who my guy is. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to get fired. And I probably might not get a coaching job after that. The fact that he's done this so quickly, and you watch the turnaround in Bo Nix, how polished he looks, how confident he looks, the throws that he's able to make, his athleticism shining. This is a very good team. The defense is very good, and they're not beating up on scrubs. Like, Atlanta's a tough team, and they handled them with ease. And I just think that the way that they're playing right now, the progression that Bo Nix has continued to show, because if we flash back to that week one game against Seattle where he was essentially just throwing the ball to the other team, I think Broncos fans should be ecstatic right now with where their team is. Bo Nix last 4 weeks, completing over 70% of his passes, 11 total touchdowns, and I think the most important thing is he's only turned the ball over once.
Pac, I will tell you this. Denver must be, in my opinion, the biggest surprise by a mile. I know we want to say this: the Cowboys are a massive surprise, but you fast forward to week one, I know you just said it. Like, that game against Seattle, that looked awful. And I get it. It was his first start. 100%. I get it. That week two game against Pittsburgh, awful. Awful. And then the third week, it's like it clicked. And I will never forget it. I was at a wedding the Saturday before the Broncos played the Jets. And they didn't win in crazy fashion. And at the time, the Jets were this herald team. Oh, they got Aaron Rodgers. They got Garrett Wilson. They got Brees Hall. This was like the Jets, you know, not the Jets now.
That was a chance to go 3-1.
Yeah. So I sat here and I was talking to a bunch of Broncos fans and they couldn't have been more down on their team. And I said to them on Saturday, this is a week, 6 days after they beat the Buccaneers. And a lot of people lost in Survivor that week because they take the Buccaneers, myself included. I said, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, trust it, because this Denver team clicked last week and it just felt like Sean Payton got his, like, match in heaven, because I don't think Bo Nix, and this is not a knock on Bo Nix at all, I don't think he succeeds in the fashion that he is succeeding in without a guy like Sean Payton. He just feels, like, perfect for that offense. And what did they do? They went on to beat the Jets. They beat the Raiders. They lost to the Chargers, sure. They killed the Saints. They beat the Panthers. They lost to the Ravens, understandably so. They should have beat the Chiefs. And then they just absolutely destroyed the Falcons last Sunday. I think this is a team that's on the rise, and this is a playoff team. Don't get anything twisted with this. This is a team that's going to be playing meaningful football in January, and to say this after, like, you're fast forward 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and say this after week three, people would have called you crazy.
I mean, just the fact that they started 0-2, every year the stat comes out, it's everyone's favorite thing to post after week two. The percentage of teams that go on to make the playoffs after an 0-2 start. Nobody thought that the Broncos would be one of those teams that would potentially be competing, be fighting. And they're in the driver's seat right now, and they control their own destiny. They still have a bye, which I think is very, very valuable for a team late in the season. But if we look at their six remaining games, Their next three are going to tell us whether this team's for real or not, because they're going to be favorites in every single one. They go into Vegas, should be a win. Vegas is just playing like one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. Then they host the Browns. So you have two matchups against teams, you know, 2-3-win teams coming up. Then you host the Colts. Again, another game that you should feel pretty good about winning, especially with the Colts being in that wild card race. That's going to be massive. Their last three is tougher. You go into LA, into Cincy, and then you host the Chiefs in Week 18. That Week 18 game, you might not have to see Patrick Mahomes, but actually the Chiefs could be fighting for the one seed still. So, like, the Broncos, you are way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time.
And this is an organization that people laughed at on draft night because it was a reach to draft Bo Nix. And Sean Payton confidently, and I'll give him all the credit for doing this, went up in his press conference and said, I missed out on Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft. The Chiefs just traded above me. They ended up with Marshawn Lattimore, who was a great player for New Orleans. But I missed out on a franchise-altering talent at the most important position. I feel just as confident as I did about Patrick Mahomes then as I do about Bo Nix. And again, people laughed at him. This is a guy, he started 6 years in college. Even Jesse Bates, going to this Falcons game, made a comment about, like, you know, we've watched 6 years of tape on Bo Nix. We're not going to be surprised by him. You got your lunch money handed to you. You lost 33-6. He scored 4 touchdowns on you, didn't turn the ball over, completion percentage in the 80s. Like, this was a coming out party for the Broncos, and they absolutely have announced themselves as a serious player. And yeah, sure, they've been up and down this season. You get blown out in Baltimore. You know, some games, they haven't scored a lot of points. They're a young team. These are the growing pains that a young team goes through. But the fact that they're on the right side of a 500 record with a favorable schedule down the stretch, like, you gotta have all the confidence in the world that this team's going to get it done. Not to mention, there's 6 games left, all AFC opponents. The ball is in their court. Let's see if they can get it done.
I love it. I love it, Pac. I love that rant. And I couldn't agree more, to be honest.
Well, there it is. Our 6 biggest takeaways from week 11. We'll see how these things play out onto week 12, which we're going to talk about a little bit right now. And that starts with our game of the week, sponsored by our friends over at TickPick, the best place to buy tickets for NFL events and all events, really. And the best part about TickPick, there are absolutely 0 hidden fees on the site. What you see is what you pay, and that's what makes it the number one ticket provider in all of sports. Game of the week this week, we got to go over to Lambeau Field. We've got the 49ers. We've got the Packers. Just in the last 15 years, this has been one of the best rivalries in the entire NFC. What makes this one feel all the more important right now, these San Francisco 49ers are 5-5, one of the biggest underachievers so far this season. They've been massacred by injuries, but their next 2 games in Lambeau, at Orchard Park, this is do or die for the 49ers right now. What's your panic level right now?
To me, it's always one of those, San Francisco's going to turn it around eventually. But I could only say that for so much longer. Like, I know they're banged up. Again, Kittle not playing like last week. It may be one of those seasons where nothing's going their way and they fall a little short. But this team is way too talented. Kyle Shanahan is way too good of a coach for me to write them off. Now, can I see them go 0-2 the next 2 weeks? Sure. Can I see them go 2-0 in the same breath? 100%. So I'm not panicking. I'm not necessarily selling my stock like I tend to do a little too early or buy my stock a little too high. I'm going to float this one out, and I'll say talk to me in 2 weeks. But I'm pessimistic in a way when it comes to the 49ers.
I'm not going to lie. I walked into this chair today, and I was ready to say, pump the brakes, relax, it's early. The 49ers, they're right where they want to be. They're 1 game back of the division. Like, in retrospect, that doesn't seem like too tall of a task, especially with what we've seen, the runs that this team can go on come December when it really matters. Because, let's be honest, once we hit week 14, 15, 16, that's all that matters. Yeah. We don't worry about what happened in October. It seems silly to, you know, panic when a team's 3-4. Then I looked at their schedule. We just mentioned it, at Packers, at Bills. Like, those 5-7 is not out of the realm whatsoever. Then you host the Bears, you host the Rams, you go into Miami, who are absolutely rolling, if you didn't know. Then you host the Lions, And then you got to play in Arizona, which could be for the division week 18. I looked at Arizona's schedule. It's much more favorable than that. They have the tiebreaker on them already. Like, it does seem like a big task. If there's one team to do it, though, I have all the trust in the world in Kyle Shanahan, in Brock Purdy, in Christian McCaffrey, who's starting to ramp it up, to go on a run, get things going, make the playoffs, and not only just get there, make some noise once they're in there. Because in a one-game scenario, do you want to see a team as talented as San Francisco? I wouldn't.
No shot. And I said it a couple, I mean, probably 10 minutes ago. I said it literally. If they played Philadelphia tomorrow in the playoffs, how... It would definitely take a lot for me to not consider at least taking the 49ers, despite the direction that both these teams seem to be heading, or at least how they are on this season, to be honest. I don't know, Pac. It's going to be a good game, though. I will say this. And for as good as Green Bay has been on paper, I still think they are, especially, I mean, going into Lambeau Field is difficult anyway, but if there's a team that can do it, and they've done it in the past, including the playoffs, it's San Francisco. And I want to say that this game means more to them. I get it's an NFC rival. You don't want to lose to an NFC rival, especially when it comes to playoff scene, it gets all tricky. But part of me, my heart is saying that this one just means a little bit more. It's more of a must win for San Francisco as opposed to it is Green Bay. But I'm really struggling on this one. I want to say San Francisco wins this game just barely, maybe 27-24, 28-24 type of thing.
I think I'm going to pick them too. It's fun because it's a revenge spot for Green Bay. But like you said, like, I'm not going to say Green Bay is like in the passenger seat on cruise control, but that division feels like the Lions aren't going to slip up. They've already won in Lambeau, which means the Lions got to go into Detroit. And I also don't think anyone's worried about Green Bay missing a playoff spot or missing a wild card. So they're kind of just tucked into like a comfortable seed where at this point it's like, hey, we're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs, but we're still a very, very good football team. I'm going to pick the 49ers as well, because if you're 5-6 going into Buffalo, like, just that's probably the hardest place to play in the NFL. They're already banged up. You cannot drop this game. So I'm going to pick the 49ers as well. There it is. Once again, our game of the week, sponsored by our friends over at TickPick, and you can use code CTB20 for $20 off on your order on that site. And we go from previewing one game to potentially previewing every game, because it is our points bet picks of the week. Yes, we are back with this. We missed the last 2 weeks. My record, I guess, is still pretty good. You're picking up steam, though. Did you go 2-0 in your last pick?
2-0.
I think I went
0-2. 7-9.
I think the last time we did this was when I picked the Jets to lose to the Texans, and I picked the Bills to beat the Fins by more than 6.5. Feels like a long time ago.
I was 3-9 at that point. And now I'm 7-9. I went back-to-back
2-0
weeks.
So, yeah, you're heating up.
Heating up.
I'm going to give you the first pick because I feel like I actually took it last time. So go ahead. The floor is yours. Once again, our picks of the week, sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet Sportsbook.
I'm going to go with the Rams +3. Look, Sunday Night Football, traveling Philadelphia team that I just said, or the Cowboys of last year. I mean, look, this Rams team is just playing a more meaningful game. I get it. Philadelphia doesn't want to lose. They're fighting for that one seed. It's still within reach. But this Rams team is desperate. If they want to keep their playoff streak alive, they need this win. So give me the points. It feels like, especially with the Ravens game next week, maybe Philadelphia looks ahead and says, maybe we got to focus a little bit more attention on that Baltimore Ravens team as opposed to this Rams team. And it's always a fun little look ahead week. I like to say, I try to put my money where my mouth is. So I'm going to take the Rams +3. I wish this was +3.5. Just give me that little bit of buffer, but I feel confident that this is a sneaky little upset pick here. So give me the Rams +3.
This has just turned into the Eagles hate podcast.
No. They're just
showing. I mean, the Cowboys are bad, so I feel like you got to shift the attention.
Fair.
To going up against the Eagles, which is fair. I would do the same with the Bills. I do it with the Jets anyways every single week. My first pick, give me these Detroit Lions, because if there's one thing we learned, they just beat the wheels off of teams. Offense, defense, it doesn't matter. They're playing another AFC South game. The AFC South, is there a bigger disappointment as a whole than the AFC South this season? I mean, sure, the Texans are good, but they haven't hit the heights that we've expected. The Colts are terrible. That's who the Lions are playing. The Jaguars, the worst team in the NFL, maybe aside from your Cowboys, and the Titans are just a team that we've all forgotten about now at this point. Give me the Lions -7 on the road. Once again, another game indoors for Jared Goff. This run game as well, the most dangerous in the NFL. I think they win this game once again, you know, 14 points, 2-3 scores. They'll handle the Colts easily.
Yeah, you snaked the pick for me because I had the Rams +3 written with some notes. I had the Lions -7 with one note, and it said, until they stop blowing teams out, I'll continue to take them, which is true, right?
So, I took them -14 against the Titans on the show. I don't know when that was, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
4 weeks ago? And I was like, it's a big spread. The big spreads haven't been covering this
week. I took a -14. I took a -14 this week. It was like the freest bet. And my only other one was the Commanders -10, and I have nothing to say about it other than the Cowboys suck. So back to you, Pac.
I was actually going to take my own team as well, but on the opposite. Dolphins are -7 at home versus the Patriots. Tua has never lost in his career against the Patriots. I'm not going to, though. I'm going to take another big, big spread, but I'm going to take the underdog. I love the Carolina Panthers this week. I don't know what it is. I think it's 10.5 for the Chiefs.
10.5.
I love the Panthers to keep it close. The Chiefs have not been able to score a ton of points, and I feel like we've reached the point in the season now where we're kind of done waiting for their offense to wake up, and we're just more accepting them for this is who they are as a team. I think the Panthers have shown a ton of progress under Dave Canales. Bryce Young is getting better by the snap. I don't think they're going to win this game, especially the fact that the Chiefs are coming off a loss, but I do like them to hang in there. 10.5 is a big spread. Give me the Panthers to cover. There it is, our four picks of the week, brought to you by our friends over at PointsBet. Once again, use code BLITZ when signing up. And there it is, the show for this week, another edition of the CTB show. It is so great to be back, and we will be back more often. We're going to come to you every single week to break down the week's action in NFL football. Pat, hopefully you're in better spirits next week. Maybe your Cowboys won't embarrass themselves. At least they're not playing in prime time.
Honestly, Pac, I don't want to win a game the rest of the year. I am on board for it getting ugly, and I'll sit there, and I'll watch it like a fan. But as long as Lamb gets his catches, goes for 1,000 yards, I don't really care too much. And as long as Zeke does not touch the field,
that's a Cowboys legend.
No,
there's no
respect from what he did in 2016, 2017, 2018, but he robbed us and he stopped playing football. So,
well, you should know not to pay running backs. But anyways, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, everywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, all that. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
See you guys.